We've been talking about hearing from God and learning to listen to God. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, "Has not my hand made all these things?" He's talking about heaven and earth. "And so they came into being," declares the Lord. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Again, God says, "Hasn't my hand made all these things?" And so they came into being. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Isaiah chapter 57 is another verse we want to read. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." This is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Over in Isaiah chapter 66, God esteems the humble, the contrite, and the person who trembles at his word. Have you ever trembled at God's word? That's something to think about. Think about in the Old Testament when Israel had been away from God for so long, and they were cleaning up the temple. The king came along, and he was one of the good kings, and so they were cleaning out the temple and throwing out a bunch of garbage, and they found this book, a scroll, and they opened it up and started reading it. And when they read it, they said, "Uh-oh, king better hear this." And they took it to the king and read it to the king. And when they read it to the king, he tore his clothes. He said, "God is upset with us. You know, if this is what God says, then we have broken every one of these laws. We've gone wholesale the other way. We've broken every one of them." And he tore his clothes. And he said, "We've got to hear what God's going to do with us." And he sent the delegation to the prophetess, I believe it was. And said, what's going to happen? And God said, "Because you were humble, because you trembled, because you broke your heart when you heard it, then I'm going to spare your generation, your time, but I'm still going to bring wrath on this place." God respects people who are humble in spirit. You remember Ahab. Ahab was a wicked, wicked king. He was somebody who just was a hedonist. He lived by pleasure. He lived whatever he wanted to do. If it felt good, do it. And yet, when the word of the Lord came through the prophet and said, "I'm going to cut off every male member of your household. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy everything about you. I don't like you. You have seriously displeased me." What does it say Ahab did? He tore his clothes. He put sackcloth and ashes on, and it said he walked around lightly. He walked around tenderly. He walked around softly before God. And what did God say? He said, "Look at how he's humbled himself. Because he's humbled himself, I'm not going to bring it on him during his day." Even a wicked, stinking, mean king like Ahab, somebody who had Naboth killed in order to steal his vineyard, somebody whose wife slew hundreds of the prophets of the Lord, even that kind of person, God said, "You humble yourself, I take notice of it."
That's just amazing. That's incredible. That's encouraging.
So God esteems the humble person, the contrite person, the person who trembles at His word. And in Isaiah 57, He had said, He lives in a high and holy place. He's the high and lofty one. He inhabits eternity, is what King James says. I like that phrasing. He inhabits eternity. He lives forever. His name is holy. You know, if there's anything that you're questioning about that, He ain't like us. You know, He's like, I am separate, not equal, totally unique, one of a kind, and yet, though I live in a high and holy place, I also live with a person who is contrite and lowly in spirit. So it tells us God dwells with the lowly in spirit. Why is this important? Because we want to hear from God. That's why it's important. We want to hear from God, and because we want to hear from God, we've got to find out what God thinks. We've got to find out what God likes. Going back to the verse that we looked at a little bit last week, in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 and 5, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructive tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. That picture in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, is of someone who is a student, someone who is a learner, someone who is a listener. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11 never really heard a lot of sermons on this particular scripture. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and that you will not be dependent on anybody. Study to be quiet. That's how the King James phrases it. Study to be quiet. I remember there was somebody back in the church I grew up in that I gave that verse to one time. I didn't know it was in there. So that verse is in there. Study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Do you know that verse is in there? Study to be quiet. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you. Go ahead and put that up there too. Mind your own business. Bible said it, I didn't.
You sure that's in there?
Yeah. And then finally, another verse we want to look at. This is in 1 Peter chapter 3. This is in the context of marital relationships, but it gives us a principle. It says in verse 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, and fine clothes. Verse 4, instead it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. 1 Peter 3:3-5. A gentle and quiet spirit is valuable to God. It doesn't just say a woman's meek and quiet spirit or a woman's gentle and quiet spirit. It says a gentle and quiet spirit is of great worth in God's sight. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And God liked Moses. God called him his friend. God said, I'm going to speak to him face to face. So God likes a gentle and quiet spirit. Why would God like a quiet spirit?
You can talk to
it. Yeah. God can talk if we're quiet. God can talk if we're quiet. I'm coming to appreciate that more. I was just reminding David and Anna yesterday how I used to play a particular song on the piano that I loved and Mom hated. It's called Saber Dance. You remember that song?
But that was the one song we played over and over.
Yeah.
And over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She still remembers it.
Passionate.
Over and over. And I told them that their grandmother would say, play something else! I said, you can't ever imagine her saying anything like that, could you? They could. Because they've seen it in their dad and mom too, probably. Alright. Enough singing Arctic Edge songs. enough, you know, whatever they've been learning in children's church, you know, it's like over and over and over and over. It's like occasionally we'll be sitting at the table, and I'm not sitting at the table with my children. I'm sitting at the table with 3-2-1 penguins, or I'm sitting at the table with characters from VeggieTales, or I'm sitting at the table with, you know, and it's like, okay, we're going to have a minute of silence. And of course, about that time, Paul goes, But
when we were down in the Sunday school this morning, I said, they got the same songs, right? And they got louder and louder. I said, let's have a quiet time.
Have a quiet time. You
come. That's how he told Joe to shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, Job.
Yeah.
He wanted to talk, though. Yeah. But he couldn't.
As long as Job was talking, he was.
Oh, he was yapping. Shut up, Job.
So, you know, as you get, I guess as you get older, you learn to appreciate the quiet a little bit more than when you're a kid and you just love the loudness so much. God can talk if we're quiet. There's only so much activity and noise and hustle and bustle that a body can handle, even a kid. You know, kids get worn out from it too. There's only so much of that you can handle before it just flat out overloads you and wears you out. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were the devil, what would you do?
Keep you from the quiet time.
Yeah. The devil loves the noise, the confusion. He loves what we call the action. got to remember that. Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. We really aren't, if we think about it. Put yourself in the devil's shoes occasionally. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I do that. I ask some of my friends all the time, well, you know, they're talking about all the hard stuff they're going through. I was like, well, if you were the devil, what would you be doing? You know, look at these good things that just happened in your life, and I'd be trying to distract you from those things too. I'd be trying to get your mind off of that. I'd be trying to keep you from being thankful in your heart. So, you know, if you're the devil, what are you going to do? You're going to try to break people away from the quiet. You're going to try to overload them. You're going to try to get them involved in so much activity and so much noise and so mm-hmm. much confusion and so much that you get overloaded.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, some of us may be sitting here thinking, well, that's me. You know? I'm hopeless. There's no hope for me. I've got too much going on in my life. I'm too busy. This particular juncture in my life, I can't slow down. I can't meditate 8 hours before God. I can't, you know, lay awake all night. Listen to this illustration. There were two men walking. I believe it was New York City. It was a big city. One of them was from another country, and the other one was American. They were walking through this city, just, you know, cars, taxis, horns blowing, people going up and down the sidewalk, sounds of people talking, shouting, the usual city sounds. We've all heard that. And the man from the other country said, hey, wait a minute, stop. So they stopped. He said, what is it? He said, listen. Okay. He said, what is it? So there's a cricket chirping. And the man said, how in the world did you hear a cricket chirping in all of this noise? He said, that's just impossible. He said, no, it's not. He said, just depends on what you're focused on. He said, watch this. Mm-hmm. The man from the other country reached in his pocket, took out a few coins, and tossed them on the sidewalk. And immediately, everybody in that vicinity turned and looked. They knew the sound of money.
Uh-huh.
They were listening for the sound of money. A man, a coin hitting the sidewalk, that's a distinctive sound, friend. Mm-hmm. You learned that as a kid in this country. Yeah, they all turned and looked, and the guy looked at his American friend. He said, it just depends on what you're listening for. Depends on what you're focused on.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't look at this and say, well, the devil's got me too active, too busy, too much going on in my life. I can't ever hear from God. It's hopeless for me. Baloney. Hogwash. You can. It just depends if you want to focus on that. If you want to begin to learn to listen to God, you can. If you want to hear from God, you can. In the middle of Christmas shopping rush season, I guarantee you, you go out on whatever it's called, Black Friday now. Hardly have to wait till Friday now. You go out and try to find you a place to park, first of all, at Hamilton Place Mall, and then once you find that, over across the interstate maybe somewhere, and walk, trudge all the way into the mall, and start walking through there with people just hustling and bustling, shoulder to shoulder, trying to grab bargains. If you be real quiet, you can hear from God. If you have a quiet spirit, God will speak to you. If you listen, He's talking. Doesn't matter how busy everybody is around you. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff God is doing elsewhere. You can hear from Him where you are if you will listen. Now, so God looks for a quiet spirit. What is a quiet spirit? What is that? If it's so important to God, what is it?
The Holy Ghost.
A quiet spirit. What is a quiet spirit? Because it says in Peter that a gentle and quiet spirit is valuable to God. What is a quiet spirit?
A spirit that is at peace.
Okay. A spirit at peace.
One that is willing to let.
spirit that is willing to listen. How about this one? A spirit that is secure in God's love.
Getting along with God, just get in a secret closet, you know, just get along with Him.
That's also a quiet spirit. A quiet spirit is one that is disciplined
right.
to be quiet.
Yeah.
Just like Paul said, study to be quiet. There's not a whole lot of us, honestly, that don't mind talking. I mean, I'm up here teaching because, yeah, God's given me to teach, but I like it. I like to teach.
God will wake you up. He got me to get up, you know, for 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
He got me up this morning, 4, 3:30.
Yeah.
And I decided, baby, get on up now. So I just get on up now and spend some time with Him. That's quiet time. Okay?
Yeah.
Ain't no cars going, ain't no doorbell, ain't no telephone ringing. Get on up here and spend some time with
That's
him.
Part of being disciplined, to be quiet.
Yeah.
So when Paul says study to be quiet, he's saying, look, this is not maybe natural to you. This is something you are going to have to discipline mm-hmm. yourself to do. A quiet spirit is also one that chooses not to speak. Let's think about that. How do we know that that's part of it? Because the previous chapter, Peter said, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. You don't know what your calling is? To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Listen to this. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. So it tells us that Christ, who could have spoken, He was God's Word made flesh. You're talking about anybody that had a right to speak, it was Jesus. He had a right to say something. He was ultimately the only person who's ever truly suffered injustice. Because we've all done something wrong in our lives. Mm-hmm. We all deserve something. Mm-hmm. He didn't deserve any of it. If anybody ever deserved to speak up and say, you are wrong for doing this to me, He did. And yet, He chose willingly to be quiet. They mocked Him. They criticized Him. They lied about Him. They accused Him. Everything. And yet, He chose to be quiet. And He said, God, I'm taking my case, and I'm putting it in your hands. Mm-hmm. And if you don't judge justly, then there's no hope. But if you judge justly about this case, then you'll sort it all out. In your time, in your way. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in my time, in my way, maybe not even in my generation. But you will sort it out. You'll make all things right. And what did He get out of that? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who believe. I thought He was already perfect. Well, sinless He was. But he was made perfect as our high priest through all of those things. And though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Mm-hmm. It's easy to obey when there's no obstacles, and it's easy to obey when it's fun, and it's easy to obey when it's something you want to do. Mm-hmm. You learn obedience, however. The true obedience is when it ain't easy. The true discipline in the military is when they say, we're going to go on a 10-mile march today, and you don't feel like it. You feel like you can give one, and they say, we're giving 10. And so when God says, you know, we're going on a spiritual 10-mile hike today, just let them do it. Learn the obedience. Learn it. Because it's working in us something deeper, more beautiful, more valuable than our rights. It's way more valuable than getting what you think you deserve. This is not about a little round globe and all the trinkets we can accumulate and getting stars on our paper for being good people. This is about being shaped and formed into the image of Christ for an eternity. Mm-hmm. And all this is just a proving ground. All this is just a place where we have an opportunity to have that done in us sooner or later. Because if we said yes to Jesus, he's planning on changing us into his image. But sooner, we enjoy the fruits of it sooner. Later, well, look at the Israelites. God said, I'll let you wander for 40 years. I've got all the time in the world. You know? When I read verses like that, it scares me. It's just like, wait a minute, God. I don't have all the time in the world. I am mortal. I'm limited. I'm going to die one day. I want to get some of these things over with. Let me learn my lesson. Oh, I don't want to come past this mountain. So, a quiet spirit. A spirit that is at peace, not one that is fretting, not one that always has to have activity. How many people have you met in your life, the first thing they do when they come in, turn on something? A TV, a radio, whatever. Gotta have some noise. Well, you know, I'm single. I don't have people in the house making noise. I don't have, you know, four kids running around screaming and hollering. That's fine. I understand what it's like sometimes just to want a little background noise. I'm an American too. I understand that. But what are we wanting to listen to? That's the question. How about this? How about when you come home, you walk inside your door, and you reach up, and you touch an imaginary switch, and you say, my ears are open, God. I'm ready to listen. How about that? You just start singing praise songs and worshiping God, and just say, God, I've got this tuner tuned in to your frequency, and if you want to broadcast anything to me, I'm listening. What might that change in our lives? I don't know, but God said to David Wilkerson a long time ago, if you'll quit listening to that news station every night at 10 o'clock or whenever it was, if you'll quit doing that and you'll pray and spend time with me, I'll give you a ministry. David Wilkerson didn't have a clue what God was going to do through him and with him. He didn't have the slightest clue. All he did was just say, okay, I'll do it. Read you another verse.
That's why Jesus said, talk little, but listen a whole lot. Listen a whole lot.
Swift to hear.
Uh-huh.
Slow to speak.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I just want to read a few verses from Jeremiah 30. I will restore you to health and heal your wounds. Because you're called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says, I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I'll add to their numbers and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, they will not be disdained. Their children will be as in days of old and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, the driving wind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand this. That's a pretty, pretty sobering question there in Jeremiah 30, 21. Jeremiah 30, 21, where he says, who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? That's one of those timeless questions. That's God asking that. That's God saying, who's going to do that? Who will devote himself to be close to me? Now, we normally stop about quarter till, and what I would like to do in this next 5 minutes is first just to be quiet. Just to be quiet and listen, let God speak to you, and just listen, and whenever you need to leave, feel free to leave, but just spend 5 minutes just being quiet.